Thank you once again this evening for gathering with us and tuning in to the broadcast as we gather around the Word of God. As we said this morning, of course, we would rather be gathered here in the house of God, but in the will of the Lord, we're looking forward in the will of the Lord to the beginning of March to be found again in the house of God on the first Lord's Day. And the week leading up to that and the will of the Lord to being able to gather even in the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. This evening we're turning to the book of Exodus again, and it's the chapter 16 that we want to read from, and then we're reading some verses in John's Gospel chapter 6, and of course you will see that the two passages are closely connected. First of all, Exodus chapter 16. And this passage has to do with the manna, which God provided for Israel in the wilderness. And of course, in John 6, we discover that the manna, that bread, points to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread that came down from heaven, bread for the soul, of course, the bread of life. So let us read in Exodus chapter 16, at the opening verse. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And then if we just move down to the verse 16, it says, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And then if we turn over to John chapter 6 and the verse 31, the Lord Jesus refers back to this incident we've read about in Exodus 16. John 6 and verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to your hearts for his name's sake. Now we're going to bow just for a moment in prayer, and you can keep these two passages before you, Exodus 16 and John 6. We'll be turning between them as we come to consider the word of the Lord this evening. Let us seek the Lord for a moment in prayer. Our Father in heaven, once again we bow before thee. We ask thee to speak to us through thy word. We ask thee to remember the needs of every individual connected with our congregations in these days, that the bereaved may know comfort, that the ill may know a touch in the body, that each believer will be enabled to press on with thee, the cold of heart may be restored to thee, the unconverted may be convicted and converted. Lord, again, have mercy upon our land and nation. And Lord, so order circumstances that even, Lord, when we move into the month of March, that we will be able to gather even in the public place of worship. So hear and answer prayer. Speak to us now through thy word. Give me help in the preaching of thy word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage before us, first of all in Exodus 16, records for us God's provision of bread from heaven called manna to satisfy the hunger of the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. That bread was a type or foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus himself, who, as we have seen in John chapter 6, spoke of being the bread of life for the soul. He is the only one who can meet the spiritual need of the soul for salvation. Now, if you take the time to read all of John chapter 6, of course, we see that incident during his public ministry when he performed the miracle of multiplying bread to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. And later, the Lord Jesus rebuked people for following him simply because they had been filled or had the need of the body satisfied by the bread which he gave them. And the Lord emphasized to the people their need of him, not merely to meet the need of the body for food, but more importantly, to believe on him for the salvation of their souls. In John 6 and 31, where we began reading in that portion, the people referred to the manna eaten by their forefathers in the desert or the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus, in replying to them, declared that the bread given in the wilderness was not able to save the soul from spiritual death, but rather he, as the bread of life, was able to do this, as the true bread from heaven. He came, of course, to give spiritual and eternal life. He came to live that sinless life, and then to go to the cross as the great sacrifice for sin, to do all that was needed for the salvation of his people. I want us to consider the record of Exodus 16 concerning the manna, and how the incident is referred to here in John 6. And consider how that manna, or bread, to meet the bodily needs of the people, pointed to Christ, who meets the spiritual need of the soul. And I want to begin by considering the sending of the manna. Look at Exodus 16, verse 4. The Lord was speaking to Moses. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And see how the Lord said to Moses that he would rain bread from heaven for them. Look at the verse 15 of Exodus 16. And when the manna came, Moses said to the people of Israel, verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And when we consider the sending of the manna, I want you to consider where the manna was sent from. God sent the manna from heaven. Verse 4 of Exodus 16. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The manna was not produced upon earth. It did not come from Egypt where the children of Israel had journeyed from, nor was it made in the wilderness. Human effort and skill had no part in producing this manna. God sent the manna from heaven. That's where the manna was sent from. But where was the manna sent to? Well, Exodus 16:1 says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. The wilderness of Sin is where the people of Israel were on their journey when the manna was sent. And that was most significant, as we'll see in a moment. But what about when the manna was sent? Do we not have to say that the manna was sent when the people of Israel were showing forth unbelief, ingratitude, rebellion, despite God's goodness to them? In verse 2 of Exodus 16, they murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In verse 3, we discover their murmurings were really against the Lord as they murmured. Look down to verse 8. And in the middle of verse 8, Moses said, For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So the manna was sent by God when Israel deserved wrath and judgment against them. As we ponder those thoughts, where the manna was sent from, where it was sent to, when it was sent, we see pictured how God would send his Son, the Lord Jesus, the bread of life, into this world to live as the perfect manna, and to go to Calvary as the great sacrifice for sin. Those three little points I have mentioned concerning the sending of the manna, we can draw this parallel. Where the manna was sent from, and where the Lord Jesus was sent from. The manna was sent from heaven, and so was the Lord Jesus. John 6 and 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Referring to himself, he came down from heaven. As far as the humanity of the Lord Jesus was concerned, yes, he was born upon earth, having been conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. But because he had always existed beforehand as the eternal Son of God, it is also the case that he was sent from heaven. The hymn writer wrote those words, out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love, me it, my Savior go. Was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. And every saved sinner, everyone who has trusted in Christ, can say, he came from heaven for me. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and 47, he referred to the Lord Jesus as the Lord from heaven. So just as the manna was sent from heaven, so the Lord Jesus was sent from heaven. But where did Christ come to? He talked about how the manna was sent into the wilderness of sin when Israel were murmuring in rebellion. And the Lord Jesus came into this sin-cursed world, which could accurately be described as a wilderness of sin. A place where from his birth attempts were made to kill him. A place where he was murmured against. A place where he was mocked. A place where he was falsely accused of blasphemy and Sabbath breaking. A place where he was eventually condemned to the death of the cross. Let me read some words in Luke 15. Luke 15 and the verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man received the sinners and eateth with them." Just as the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and really against the Lord, so people murmured against the Lord Jesus. Luke 19 and the verse 7, with regard to the Lord's dealings with Zacchaeus, when the people saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Where Christ was sent from heaven, where he came to, this sin-cursed world. But when did Christ come? He came when mankind had for many years rebelled against God. When people, for the most part, were unthankful and unholy. Apart from those in whose hearts God had done a work of grace. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 21. We read these words in Romans 1 and verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Oh, when we consider the manna being sent, we thank God it pointed forward to that day when God sent his Son into this world, when Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me ask, what does the sending of the Lord Jesus into this world mean to you personally? Can you say, "Well, I've turned from my sin, I've trusted in him as my Savior"? And if you can say that, well, it means so much to you that God sent the Son into the world to save your soul. But if you're not saved, you need to consider that God sent the Son to save sinners. You need to avail of that. Which leads us into our second point, because we've considered the sending of the manna, but what about the benefiting from the manna? The words which Moses spoke in Exodus 16 and the verse 15 demonstrate to us that the children of Israel were to benefit from the manna. Because Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." The manna was a free gift from God to the people of Israel. It was for their benefit, that they might eat and satisfy their hunger, and that it might prevent them from perishing at that particular time. The manna was to benefit them on a daily basis. Verse 21 of Exodus 16, "And they gathered it every morning." But for the people to benefit from the manna, they did have to realize their responsibility to gather and to partake of. In verse 16 of Exodus 16, "This is a thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." How does this parallel with benefiting from the Lord Jesus as the Savior and the salvation that he has provided? You see, Christ and the salvation found in him is a free gift. Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, 15 refers to God's unspeakable gift. Ephesians 2 and 8 reminds us it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. But if you as a sinner are to benefit personally from salvation, you must receive Christ by faith as Savior, having turned from your sin. You must taste and see that he is good. It's as many that receive him to them that he gives the power to become the sons of God. The hymn writer said, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me to him, to death pursued." You know, in John 6 and 35, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." There has to be that coming to the Lord, that believing on him in order to benefit from salvation. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." If you're not saved, will you not come to the Lord Jesus this evening, call on him for salvation, that you may benefit from him and from salvation? The Lord Jesus said to some during his ministry in John 5 and 40, "And ye will not come to me, that ye may have life." You're responsible to come and turn from sin and trust in the Lord, and if you do not, you're guilty of not coming, rejecting him. And that leads us into our third thought, despising the manna. Yes, the manna was sent. The manna could be benefited from, but the manna was despised. If you look for a moment at the book of Numbers, in the chapter 11, in Numbers chapter 11, in the verses 4 and 5, we read these words, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? You remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." They were despising the manna, some of them. They did not feel their need of it. They did not sense its value. They looked back to Egypt, despite the fact they had suffered much there. Does it not remind us today that many despise the Lord Jesus Christ, as they have done so over the years? Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, the verses 2 and 3, that Christ would be despised, rejected of men. To left to self, the sinner prefers to go on unseen, not fully realizing the value of Christ and his salvation, and the need of that salvation. Let me read some words in Romans chapter 3, the verses 10 and 11 of Romans chapter 3. And it says there, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." That is, left to yourselves, we won't seek after God. We won't realize the value of Christ and salvation. So, dear friend, if you're not seeking, you need to leave off despising Christ, rejecting him. You need to flee to him for salvation. You need to partake of him. There in Exodus 16 and the verse 31, we're given a little detail about the manna. It says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." There was a sweetness to the taste. And the psalmist says, "We're to taste and see that the Lord is good." The greatest blessing that you can ever receive in this life, that will benefit you in life and for all eternity, is to receive salvation from Christ. The manna in the wilderness, it was most important. It was sent by God from heaven for the people to benefit from, and yet so many despised it. But that manna pointed to Christ, the bread of life, who came from heaven into this sin-cursed world. He lived. He suffered unto death. He arose again. He ascended back to heaven. He ever lives to pray for those who will come to God through him. You, dear friend, need to come to him. Partake of Christ. And for each of us who are saved, we need to thank the Lord. We have partaken of him. We are saved. You need to rejoice in that. We need to spread this message concerning the bread of life to others. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. God bless even these thoughts to your hearts this evening. And may you rejoice in the one who is the bread of life for the soul. Thank you for tuning in to this broadcast this evening.